Therapy Insiders is sponsored by WebPT, the ultimate EMR. Why are they the ultimate? Well, one of the reasons is because they're going to help you with ICD-10, the transition to the new codes. You need to know it, and you probably don't know it as well as you should. Check them out at www.webpt.com/podcast to find out more about ICD-10 for a free demo and a lot more. Hello, welcome back to Therapy Insiders. Dr. Gene Sciroc abroad here. Over the last few episodes, we've covered a lot of things from business to kettlebells to, you know, just kind of discussing communication in general. Now, me personally, I'm a big fan of movies, and it's not just the extravagance of the movies, even though, you know, it's fun to see things get exploded once in a while. But I think that the best movies have a really good story. And, you know, Hollywood is a multi-billion dollar storyteller, and the best ones really resonate with people. And a lot of terms get thrown around in the world, you know, buzzwords, authentic, honest, things like that, transparent, especially in business. But having a word and having a real understanding of the word, definition of it, and more importantly, a relevance of it doesn't come around very often. So I'm always interested in what defines these words, especially in healthcare. You know, when you're dealing with a lot of the unknowns, when you're dealing with people in pain, when people turn to Dr. Google and you know, you have a scratch and all of a sudden you Google that scratch and you have, you know, a disease that requires your arm to be amputated. That's not really authentic. That's a fear of the unknown. So I reached out on Twitter, and somebody that I've been following and I really like his page, his tweets, and his perspective on, I think, really presenting information within a story, because that our brains are wired to accept stories because we like that. We like to have a perspective. We like to have a beginning. We like to have an end, but we also like to be part of something. So our guest today is Christoph Trapp. I hope I said your last name right. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But Christoph, thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you for having me on. It's always good to talk about storytelling.
So let's go right into storytelling. I think a lot of times people, you know, you say story and people think of making things up, of not being realistic, a detachment from reality. But that's not necessarily the case when you're telling a story, right?
No, that's not usually how I use that term. But I do have a fun story. There are definitely some different definitions out there. A few years ago, I actually wrote up job description. It was the first draft of the job was called VP of Storytelling. And I kind of texted it to my wife and I said, hey, what comes to mind when you hear that job title? And she was at lunch with a bunch of teachers and they all responded, storytelling, like sitting around in a circle and reading a book to children. So there are definitely different definitions of the same term, which sometimes can make things difficult. In my context, I talk about how do we share stories to actually be relevant and to actually build connections beyond just being transactional with each other.
And I think that's the big word is relevance, right? You can tell, like you said, you can tell the three little pigs in a business meeting and try to make a connection through it, but that doesn't necessarily always mean it's relevant. You know, yeah, you can make a metaphorical connection about anything to build a strong house and foundation and everything like that. But to make a story really resonate with somebody, how do you make that connection to someone to make them really feel and understand what you're trying to portray?
Yeah, so authenticity is one thing that's really important. Are we actually sharing the truth? Now, interestingly, there's multiple versions of the truth many, many times, right? You and I might have a different recollection of this podcast. Somebody else has a different story about it. They may have heard something different. So there are multiple versions sometimes, a lot of times, and that's quite okay. Stories also have conflict. So when people overcome certain things and they share that, that actually helps us be more more relatable. So some of the best stories that I have shared, the best performing ones, are actually ones where I either screwed something up and I'm sharing that experience and I'm helping people learn from what I just did wrong or something that has happened to me that was negative. So conflict is really important, which is very interesting, actually, in my opinion. Because, you know, we like to share positive stories only, but do you know what it's called? So I'm talking about authentic storytelling, but do you know what it's called when you only share positive stories? That is called marketing. That is not called authentic storytelling. It's always positive. I mean, nobody in the good old times thought they would share negative stories. But what actually found is that if you share sometimes, not all the time, but you share the good and some of the bad, it actually connects you more to people. And they feel like you're human because it's what you are, not perfect. And that actually helps. Now, it does take a little bit of getting used to sometimes sharing negative things. And sometimes also the other thing is like looking like humans. The thing that most recently comes to as Periscope, you know, people are talking live on Periscope and
sure.
Show themselves talking, and like people look like people, you know, like actual humans. So sometimes we say, well, I don't want to look like that, but that is what you look like, you know. You know, you don't have, you're not made up like you go on TV. And but then the third piece, go ahead.
But the, and I definitely want to hear the third piece of a story. But
yep.
Every story, when you tell a story, right, you tell it for a purpose, to with a goal in mind, right? You said there's a conflict, and that's why I think a lot of people are drawn to dramas, because the drama has a hero going through a down and an up. And in life, I think that's the same. We love to see an underdog story, and we love to see the trials and tribulations that are attributed to it, because that's part of regular, normal life that everyone can relate to, because we all go through difficulties and we like to see it, because you create this vicarious effect. If they did it, I can do it as well. So,
you know,
what is that? Yes. Is that third piece then?
Yeah, let me also go back in a second, but I want to talk about the every story has to have a purpose, and that is it's a great point. And stories should have a purpose and something we want to get out of them. But here's the thing. I think a lot of marketers take that to the extreme too much. So they say, let's start sharing stories today. We get it, Christoph. Let's go, go, go. And then they say, what's the call to action? What should people do next? And then people won't do whatever they want them to do next on the first story because they haven't established a brand or a reputation. And guess what happens? Well, it's not working. So it's a very fine line between thinking about, you know, what do we want people to do versus let's just tell good stories and relevant stories, and then you know, down the road people will actually find you because of uniqueness and because of your the outreach you've been done. So it's kind of like that fine line to think about.
So it's kind of like writing a book, right? If you're marketing via storytelling, you're writing chapters that kind of build on each other until you reach something, versus just each chapter is a mini book and starts and ends. You want it to kind of build up into this volume that you have that people really like to want to keep turning the page and listening to.
Yep, exactly right. Yep. So the third piece of the puzzle really is knowing your audience. Now, the term target audience is really something that needs to be retired, quite honestly. It's a marketing term, and I'm not saying we should know who we're trying to reach, but, you know, I don't know anybody who says, please target me today, or, you know, I can't wait to be targeted. So it's really kind of a offensive kind of term if you think about it, because, you know, it's like we're after you for some reason. So the for your consideration, I offer interested community, right? It's really the same thing. It's just a little bit more community building and not necessarily so much I'm after you, but I'm after you because you're interested in the stuff I'm talking about. Now, the more you know about your community, the better it is for you, really, because you can kind of frame your content a little bit differently because you know what they might like and what they don't like, and you might even know how you push their buttons if you know them. And it's quite okay to push people's buttons if it's relevant to what you are doing. You know, I joke, I say, I just found this out the other day, but there's some people out there that don't like me. I mean, I don't know how that's possible. It's a joke, obviously, but not everybody likes us. Not everybody loves us. But the people who are actually our interest community, they do love us, and they want to be connected with us. So the people that don't love us, they're not actually part of that community anyway. We don't necessarily need to please everybody all the time. In fact, it's nearly impossible to do that. That unfortunately has been one of those things, you know, people don't want to share some stories because sometimes some people get offended.
I think that's a critical point, is that when you're telling a story or when you're just communicating in general, and I think the best stories are made to further communication and, like you said, build relationships, but not everybody, you don't have to please everybody. You have to be, again, you know, the word is authentic, but authentic is being yourself without really worrying about what somebody else or how somebody else will react, and which is not to say to say whatever you want and offend somebody. You kind of have to know the morality of what you're saying and the ethics and just the general social context. WebPT is the ultimate EMR for physical therapy. You know that. One of the reasons is because they know ICD-10. And I don't. So I ask Heidi Janenga, COO of WebPT. Heidi, what the heck is ICD-10?
Well, ICD-10 is diagnosis codes on steroids. We're talking more than 68,000 codes. All HIPAA-covered entities must switch to ICD-10 on October 1st, 2015, or face claim denials. That's where WebPT can help. Our intuitive ICD-10 code selector is built right into our documentation platform, thus simplifying the patient diagnosis process. I encourage all of you to check it out. Visit webpt.com/podcast to request a free online demonstration.
How, in the world of healthcare, a lot of times it's very black and white. A lot of clinicians, a lot of patients see in black and white. They, you know, they have pain or they have an issue and they want to get it fixed. But that becomes a disconnect a lot of times as well, because people want to feel better. Clinicians want to help them feel better. So how do you even create a story to help people within the realm of healthcare without going off the rails?
Yeah, without going off the rails. Interesting phrasing. So there's stories everywhere. It's just it's a matter of us seeing the unique stories to us. So for example, I just blogged about this a few days ago, or maybe last week. This month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So everybody has noticed that you should be talking about breast cancer during October because everybody's talking about it. Well, and that is true, but what happens is everybody is talking about it, everybody's saying the same exact same thing, you know, because guess what? Facts don't actually change from, you know, from Iowa to California or Washington or wherever. So you have to figure out what is your unique value and your unique story that you can share. Sometimes that's, you know, it's a unique opinion, and sometimes you have to disagree with people. And this is not necessarily in healthcare, but I just think about the thing with Twitter the other day. You know, Twitter was talking, and I'm guessing Twitter was actually just testing what people would say, but they were talking about letting go of the 140 character limit. And so the blog post I wrote, which was very contrary to a lot of the publications, I said, you know, it's silly for them to even consider it, because first of all, just because you have more space doesn't mean that people actually have things to say that are worth reading. And secondly, it's one of their differentiators, because if you can write as much as you can write on Facebook, why don't you just go to Facebook? You know, plus how's it going to look on your phone? So because I had a unique opinion, people actually read that article and you know, people shared it. So you have to figure out what is it that makes you unique. Now, sometimes people say, well, but we're all operating under the same rules. And that is true. So am I, not necessarily as restrictive as healthcare institutions, but what makes you unique? And once you figure that out, you can talk about that. So, my latest favorite way of illustrating that, if you actually, Joe Polizzi, who is the CEO of the Content Marketing Institute, he just published his Content Inc. book. And the way what he calls it in there, he says, you know, here's your topic, got it, but it has the same topic to a degree. But then you have to figure out your content tilt. So what is unique about you, right? So you're taking your topic and you're tilting it one way. That's a very nice way of kind of explaining that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think the whole UVP, unique value proposition, is always important to flush out. And, you know, healthcare, I think, is one of those things, because I think clinicians oftentimes create the UVP as, I'm going to help the patient. I'm going to do my clinical service, and that makes me unique, which is not really the case, because the best clinicians really listen to patients and understand them and look at it as an experience, right? The customer experience, which has been very much deficient in healthcare for a long time. And we hear this all the time, that and patients or customers, or however, you know, the wording you want to use, but they really resonate to people that listen. You know, a lot of times we hear the, I went to see my doctor and they just talked at me versus talk with me. And if you switch your mindset to listening to the patient and hearing their story versus just trying to pick out their symptoms, you know, and that becomes the big difference between listening and being, you know, and really hearing what they're saying, being an active listener. Do you have any tips on how to really not only tell a story, but how to hear a story?
Yeah, first of all, you can't just wait for your turn to talk. So you actually have to actively listen to people, and kind of, you know, sometimes you have to ask good questions. There's just different communication styles. Some people, you know, some people, they just go on and on and on and on and on, and it's not to the actual facts that people care about. But to them, it's important. So how do you kind of adjust to how people communicate? And then I'll give you an example, and you can, this is actually posted on my in the media section on my Twitter account. So last couple weeks ago here, I had my birthday, and the team gave me a card, and it's two bunnies talking to each other, and one says, hey, let's see who can go the longest without reaching for their phone. Well, and the second bunny interrupts the first one and says, I'm out. That was taking forever to explain. So I don't actually think this is a joke. I think this actually has happened. But you have to kind of adjust to how people communicate, right? So if you're in this category, where you have everything has to be, you know, within 8 second attention span. If that's the kind of physician or person or whatever you are, you have to kind of adjust to the people who ramble on and on and on and on. But you still have to listen and just kind of figure out what are the questions to ask. Then also how to ask those questions. There's no dumb questions, so to speak, but they are definitely leading questions, and they're definitely like open-ended questions a lot of times I think are pretty good. Now, I'm not a physician by any means, so I'm not necessarily talking about how they should do that. But from my experience, that I'm trying to gather information, sometimes, you know, statements hidden within questions are dangerous, because people might be led down one way or another.
Yeah, you definitely want to avoid the leading questions and the biases within the questions, because there's a lot of psychology within the way you frame questions, within the way you communicate. So you want to do the best to avoid that. And that's a whole different conversation in itself. But Christoph, thanks so much for joining us. Where can our listeners find you if they want to really look into more about what storytelling really is, or Twitter, Facebook, website, anything like that?
Yeah, sure. So you can find me on Twitter at CTRAPP, C-T-R-A-P-P-E. You can also go to my blog, authenticstorytelling.net. That's the Authentic Storytelling Project. And there are lots of tips, weekly tips, if not a couple times a week, on storytelling. And some, there's some social media news in there once in a while, but it's not really a news blog. It's more of a, you know, here's a tip, here's a thought, here's something you can implement yourself.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us. I'm sure our listeners will really start to think about the way they frame their stories. And it's always awesome to hear, you know, a good story. I think a lot of times we get caught up in them, and you really focus in on that connection and that interaction when you have a good storyteller in front of you.
You bet. Thank you. And thank you for inviting me on. Happy to chat with you today.
Absolutely. So if you want to catch Christoph again, check him out on Twitter, on his blog, and we'll post all his information on our page as well. So as always, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate all the Facebook reviews, all the iTunes reviews. We've been in the top 20 in the medical section of iTunes over the last couple of weeks. That's been really awesome, and it's thanks to you, all our listeners. So we really appreciate that. And check us out on UpDocMedia.com. We've got a lot of cool stuff going on, blog, our podcast, and our recently launched consulting and continuing education courses. So if you are interested in any of that, UpDocMedia.com. All right, we'll catch you next time. Thanks a lot.